Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Hello, everybody. I'm Morgan Stogstill, along with Andrea Rappaport, and this is episode 10 of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Do you need an attorney to file for divorce?
No. Sometimes you have to file for divorce to get it going.
Do not rush through a parenting agreement.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
So, Andrea.
Coming to you live from Morgan's son's closet.
Correct. Because apparently, everybody, we were getting a little feedback when we were sitting in normal places like an office or even a kitchen table. So now we are sitting in a small closet together, very, very close.
Very close. That's I'm going to set the scene for you. I'm hungry. So I have in front of me a bowl of pirate's booty, which I'm not going to eat while we record this because the loud crunching sound will be off-putting to most of you. We have two oversized bottles of water. Boring. But
totally.
More exciting. We've got some mom drinks.
That's right.
Tonight we are...
Cheers.
Shake it, baby. Tonight we are sipping Tito's.
Yes, right? Tito's.
Mm-hmm. Tito's with the Whole Foods brand of, it's like a sparkling water that's like the lemon raspberry.
Yes.
And then we added lime.
That's right, because it's necessary. Because why are we doing this? We're talking about documents today.
Yeah. So today's episode is entitled, The Documents Needed to Get Divorced, parentheses, We Promise This Won't Be Boring.
Exactly.
So lots of pressure on our part to make this not boring, but we're going to do it. And the reason why we want to do this episode is that we've noticed from a lot of people we've been chatting with over the last few months of having this podcast is that we all know that there's so many different ways to get divorced. There's so many different types of divorces. And sometimes things happen a little bit out of order. So we want to go through everything just so you know what actually has to happen in order to get divorced, regardless of what kind of divorce you go through.
Right. So one of the things before we even pressed record that Andrea was asking me about was something that I get all the time and that there's this misinformation out on the street about, which is, do you have to file for divorce to start the divorce proceedings? And the short answer in Illinois is no. You could be negotiating a divorce without filing a petition for dissolution.
Which I had no idea.
Exactly.
I had no idea.
You could. You could be negotiating. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes you have to file for divorce to get it going. And at all times you have to have a divorce filing on file to get a divorce. So let me just recap that because there's a lot. So bottom line is you can negotiate a divorce in mediation or outside of mediation without filing the actual petition, as long as both people are engaged in the process.
However, I want to say that there, and you mentioned this before we hit the record button, that filing for a divorce, your words were, it draws a line in the sand.
Correct.
Right? So I feel like if we're speaking about this from like a like mindset perspective, there is something to the idea of like, all right, Chad, I'm not f***ing around anymore. We're doing this, right? Like, I mean, I do think that there is something, because I think that, actually, now that I'm saying it, I probably should ask you instead of just saying, because like I only know my divorce. Do you find that that's like a really big step for people to take? Like, that's it, I'm filing? And do you have people who come to you to do that initial kind of meet and greet meeting, and they're kind of on the fence, like, should I file? Do I wait? Like, how emotional is that decision?
That's actually a great question, because it is emotional, and it's usually more emotional than it needs to be, because the filing, I always say, it's a very vanilla petition. It's not very in-depth. It's not ugly. It's just simply stating some facts and getting it on file.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but I think that for someone who's going through it, I don't think that it feels, like, I think it does feel huge.
It feels huge for them.
Right.
Huge.
Right. But like for, I mean, you're saying like it's not as dramatic as it needs to be. I think that, like, obviously you do this for a living, and for you, you're a bit removed because it's not your divorce. I think that for some people, they feel like I can't go back after this. Right.
Right. Right. And what I always tell people, you can go back. And what I mean by that is a divorce filing is not an absolute, meaning if you file it and you say, oh my gosh, I want to remain married, you can always file a motion to withdraw that petition. And in certain scenarios, you can agree with your spouse to withdraw that petition. So it doesn't have to be final. And a lot of times we have to do that to draw a line in the sand, because what I'm talking about is Chad or Donna, whoever it is. Right. Let's talk about Chad tonight.
Totally.
Totally.
God, so Chad's been really getting on my nerves lately.
You and everyone else. So Chad won't do anything, right? Because you want a divorce, but Chad doesn't. So Chad's just going to sit there and have his cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the only way that we get Chad to move or realize that this is happening and get on board, Chad, is filing a divorce petition. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go that extra step and serve him like the movies and have a process server go out and throw the papers at him and at his workplace. That's nonsense. But a lot of times we have to get Chad the paperwork and show him we filed. Now we're in the game, Chad. And whatever route we take from there, that's up to us.
Riddle me this. Just a few questions for those who might not know. Oh, Pirate's booty just went everywhere. Do you need an attorney to file for divorce?
No. You can file for divorce on your own if that's something you want to do.
Do you recommend having an attorney before you file for divorce?
Absolutely.
There you go, people. Take notes. Absolutely.
And let me tell you why. There's many, many reasons. One is the documents never are right. And talk about a headache. So,
wait. What do you mean by that? The documents are never right?
Meaning if you don't do this every day, you're not going to know what to file or how to file it correctly. So you're going to cause yourself so many headaches. A lot of times judges send you back to redo paperwork if you don't have lawyers.
Whoa.
You may not know how to get a divorce date. Exactly. So one, it's super frustrating. And I think most people listening, if you're going to go through a divorce, you're already at your max of frustration.
Yeah.
So you don't need any more. But the second reason is at the end of the case, let's just say you do it all on your own. At the end of the case, assuming you know what you negotiated for and it's appropriate, which most people do not when they don't do this every day, the end of the case, the paperwork is so important. Let's just say, for instance, I tell people, did you put the right language in to make sure that the IRS, you don't have a problem with the IRS in the future? If you're doing it on your own, more than likely, you're not going to know how to do that. That's why it's so important to work with a lawyer.
Okay. So we've done the filing. We know that this is an emotionally charged point, yes. right? For a lot of people. Now, tell me this. Let's look at it from the other person's perspective. If you are not the one who filed, if you are served with papers, and let's say that it's, whether it's a surprise or not a surprise, what happens then?
If you're served?
Correct.
Okay, so if you're served, then you are going to have a time frame with which to get a lawyer and have your lawyer contact the other lawyer.
Is that time frame something that's kind of the same across the board regardless of your state, or is there a huge
myriad? It can depend state to state, but usually it's in the range of somewhere between 21 to 30 days.
Okay, so you don't have a long time. You have a month-ish.
Correct.
To respond.
But I will tell you a little secret of how I keep most cases amicable. So when we file for divorce, a lot of times it's a line in the sand. We don't want to blow everything up, but we want to send the message to the other side. Listen, it's time to engage. Let's figure out what process to do this in. Mm-hmm. So what we do, or what I do, is I send a nice letter. So I first have the client tell the other side that they've hired a lawyer. We're going to keep this amicable and you're going to receive some paperwork. So they're not surprised.
Okay.
And I work with that client to make sure that we say that at the right time and the right place. So for instance, I usually don't do that on a Friday. Why do I not do that on a Friday?
Because it feels like they're getting fired.
Exactly. And then you have to deal with that person potentially all weekend, being upset, feeling, you know, anxious. It's not pleasant. And if you have kids, that's their number one, right?
100%.
So
yeah, you don't want to feel like somebody's being ambushed. By like, I'm done with you, I'm dumping this on you, and now see you at soccer practice in the morning.
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So everything is strategic from the get-go. And then what I do is I send a nice letter to them on a Monday or Tuesday, usually in the beginning of the week, saying, listen, we filed, you know, don't be afraid, we want to keep this amicable, but you have X amount of days, why don't you go hire a lawyer and have them contact me? I'm not going to serve you unless I don't hear from a lawyer or from yourself.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I would say 95% of the time, somebody does hire a lawyer, they contact me, I don't have to serve them anymore, and it starts it out on the right foot. So that's paperwork that we're talking about.
It's like two humans having an adult conversation about something that's maybe not going to be pleasant the whole way through, but we're here to play ball.
Yes.
Okay. And again, I feel like such a broken record because I say this again and again and again. However, listening to Morgan just talk about the way that she handles things, it really motivates me to say it is all about whom you hire to represent you. Like, you gotta think. And I know that cost is a huge concern. Usually that's the utmost of concerns, right? A divorce is expensive. We all know that.
Right.
And then we all think like, oh my God, how much money is this going to cost me? And then you look at what the retainers are for these divorce attorneys and you're like, are you kidding me? What? No way. No, thank you.
I know.
Is there a, what's the name of that website that has like the attorneys online that'll do anything
and
everything for you?
The AVO or AVVO.
Yeah, there's another one that I'm trying to think of. It's like, yeah, like is there like a quick fix version of this where I can just go on and have something, you know, notarized and whatever? Guys, unfortunately, you most likely cannot. You will save money and heartache and mental strength in the long run if you upfront hire an attorney that has your best interests, your children's best interests at heart. And here's something to think about. What your soon-to-be ex-spouse goes through mentally and emotionally will have a direct impact on your children.
Agreed.
So even if you're like, my ex-spouse can go get hit by a freight train, think about those kids because they are going to be with those kids for most likely 50% of the time, depending on which state you're getting divorced in. And any kind of mental or emotional duress that they're under is going to directly impact the kids. So think about that when you're hiring an attorney. Think about the way that your attorney handles these things, because I will tell you what Morgan just said a few minutes ago is not at all what my experience was. So, and again, I have been very upfront with that fact throughout the entirety of our first season of this podcast. One of the reasons why I was so emotionally drawn to doing a show like this with Morgan is I learn from my own mistakes, and I really want you guys to not make the mistakes that I made. So again, all roads lead back to get the right attorney.
Totally.
So you've filed.
We've filed. All right. So then everyone says, what's next? Well, the first thing you need to know is, and I'm talking about Illinois, but it's most likely very similar in other states. So what do you need to get divorced? There are two documents, assuming you have children, that you have to get divorced. The first one in Illinois is something called an allocation judgment. What is that? It's the parenting agreement. The second document is called a marital settlement agreement. A lot of people call it an MSA. That's the financials. So with those two documents, after being negotiated and signed off upon, you are ready for a divorce. Before those two documents are done and finalized, you are not ready for a divorce. So those are the two big documents in any divorce.
Go into a bit, and guys, if you have listened to any of the other episodes, or specifically the episode where we did a deeper dive on the parenting agreement, you know that this is a very emotional piece for me, because this is where things went really sideways in my divorce, and this has been an issue. So the parenting agreement. Number one, do not rush this. It's something that, and depending on at what point in your divorce do you have to do this, you're going to feel a sense of urgency. Let me explain. For me, I moved out immediately. I moved out right after we filed for divorce. And I moved out, which is also not typical. Usually the husband moves out. Because I left the house when I did, there was a need to get that parenting agreement done immediately. Something else that I will say is parenting agreements, or an allocation or whatever, those are rather permanent agreements. It's hard to get those finagled after the fact. Is that right or wrong?
So parenting agreements, specifically parenting time, is modifiable. But a lot of times you have to show a substantial change in circumstance,
okay,
which can be a hurdle for some cases. Also, in Illinois, once you enter into a parenting agreement, you technically are unable to modify it for a period of 2 years, absent some pretty big allegations.
Okay, so I will just tell a fun story, and that I was misled in my divorce, and I was told that it was possible to file for a temporary parenting agreement, which is not the case.
You can do a temporary parenting order.
Right. And that was not what it was. This
Got
was
it.
An actual allocation. And I was told that in 1 year's time, it was up for renegotiation. That's not true. It wasn't. And because of that, and because I had already moved out of the house, and there was a sense of urgency to get this document done, there were mistakes that I made. I rushed through it. I did not have the guidance that I needed to make educated decisions. Do not do that. Oh God, why am I gonna cry? Because it'll never, ever, ever be worth it. So, God, already, Andrea? So please know that there are parts of a divorce that you will want to just get through because it sucks. And I will tell you, that fucking allocation sucks. Because nobody wants to talk about not having their children every day. It feels so foreign. But sit down with your attorney. If you have a divorce coach or a therapist or someone whom you trust with this stuff, go through it with somebody. Really take your time. If you've already moved out of the house, there is going to be pressure to get it done because the court needs something to go by.
Which,
right?
I will say, I do not recommend anybody moving out of the house like Andrea did without something in a court order. So that said, keep going, please.
Yep, exactly. And again, and Morgan and I have talked about this a lot outside of the podcast, but there's always going to be things that come up. And I have been very open that in my divorce, there was some abuse that had gone on and things that lead you to want to move out of the house. every single thing you do has to be thought through. Every single decision has to be a thoughtful decision. And if you are able, do not make these decisions alone. Have someone, because you are not going to be in the headspace to make, what's the word that we use? Like unemotional, intelligent decisions and not emotional decisions, right? Okay. So with all of that being said, do not rush through a parenting agreement. It is a very, very important part of the divorce process. And I don't mean to scare people with it, but this really just lays out the parameters of everything regarding the children. So it's not only parenting time, but it's also decision making. And all of those little things, have someone help you with it.
So that someone should be me. Because if you don't have a lawyer guiding you, then you're definitely not being guided the right way. And we, you know, we should have a really in-depth conversation about what matters to you, because like Andrea's talking about, her case is very different than somebody else's case. And things that may matter to Andrea may not matter to the next person. So there's a lot of things to think about. The other thing that I find interesting, and that not so many people think about it, but they should, is that where you are at the time that you're negotiating your allocation judgment or your parenting agreement will not be where you will be in 5 years. And yes, that document can be modified. It can be modified. But what I'm saying is, more than likely, you may move on and you may be with somebody new. You may have a family with someone new. That person may have a family that is integrated into yours. So you have to think about way more than just, does this work for me right now?
How can you possibly do that though? Like, that seems to me like, as someone who just went like through this, like, you know, a year ago, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, I barely know what my life looks like now. How am I to predict what my life's going to be like when I meet Mr. Right?
Right.
And his kids, you know what I mean? Like, how
yeah.
are you?
So what I'm kind of getting at, and I agree with you, you can't really wrap your head around it, but the right professional can guide you to the right answer, which is, there's sometimes that people say, you know what, I don't care about, for instance, I don't care about Christmas because I'm Jewish. I'm never going to celebrate Christmas. Well, guess what? 5 years down the line, you could find someone who is not Jewish, that is Christian and celebrates Christmas.
Right, and wants to have your kids with his family.
Yes.
On, yep.
With Chad's
100%.
Family.
100%. With Chad. Oh, God, Chad. I'm so tired of him.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, don't give up things because you may not celebrate it now or may not do it now just because. Think about the overall picture.
You mentioned before that it can be renegotiated. You said it's typically 2 years.
Correct.
Right? And then there has to be substantial evidence towards a change in lifestyle or needs or whatever, right? What does that look like?
Well, so the court's always going to look at what is in the best interest of the children.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors under our law, and that's something that I go through with clients right away. What do the factors look like for the best interests of the children? So that's something that we can wrap everyone's head around probably in an episode of itself.
Yeah.
And what it looks like. But, you know, it's everything from what does their school look like? How are they acclimated with friends and family? There's all these things that go into the best interest standard that the judge is looking at.
Which I think that, just a side note, I got divorced during COVID. So the world looks so different then from how it looks now. And that's something that I think for a lot of people who are probably divorced this past year, I don't know if how the law, how courts have adapted since then, but for people who they're like, look, there was nowhere to go.
Right.
Like, my kid didn't have soccer because there wasn't no soccer.
Right.
Right. So let me ask you another question, but before we move on to the MSA, I don't want people to think, I feel like we're giving people conflicting information, like, you got to take your time for this because it matters, and think about the future, but you got to get it done, and it's really hard to change, but it can be changed, right? Let's say you do the parenting agreement to the best of your ability at this time.
Yep.
When it's been 2 years, and when a few things have changed, right? Again, when it's been 2 years, guys, so think about that number, 2 years. You're in this for 2 years, okay? Before a judge most likely will entertain a shift unless something monumental happens.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do you need to bring back your attorney to renegotiate? What is that called? Is it called a renegotiation of the parenting agreement?
A modification.
Okay.
Modification. So most parenting agreements that at least that I do, and it's a requirement in Illinois, have what's called a mediation clause. So most of them say, and this is why you need a lawyer drafting the documents, that before you can go back to court, you basically have to lay out to the other party what the problems or what the issues are that you want to discuss or mediate. Okay. And then you have to go to mediation and see if you can work it out. If you cannot work it out in mediation, then you can file something in court.
Do you need an attorney, though, to go to mediation?
So it depends on you if you would like it. I always think it's a good idea to have a lawyer there because I see too many clients agreeing to things that would never happen in court.
Okay.
And then you're living with that. Or some mediators, if it's a very detailed case or case with substance abuse, some mediators require lawyers to come.
Oy, favor. Okay. Okay. Guys, I just want to make mention, because I was thinking about something that Morgan just said. If at any point you're listening to the show and you're thinking, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I have a question. I don't know who to ask. You are more than welcome to send a DM on Instagram or on Facebook to either one of us. If we cannot help you, we will put you in touch with somebody who can, okay? So don't feel, we never want someone to think, listening to this, oh my God, I wish that these two people can help me, but like, I don't know them, right?
Right. Last week, I told you, I received an email from a young woman outside of New York City who I could not help personally, but she was not comfortable with the people who she had spoken to. And I got her to someone that I think she feels much more comfortable with. So we're happy to help you.
We want to help you. That is why we are doing this. Okay, let's move on from the parenting agreement before I cry off all of my super lovely Chanel mascara. Le Volume, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait, you know what? That's a lie. Today I'm not wearing Le Volume. Today I'm wearing the Too Faced Better Than Sex mascara. Ooh,
I can see it.
Why do they have to come up with the dumbest names?
I don't know. I almost feel embarrassed at times
when
I'm like,
Better Than Sex.
Right.
Like, oh, shut up.
I once had a client ask me what my blush was, and I had to respond.
Orgasm.
It was orgasm.
Yeah,
and she was like,
wonderful.
What? And she was an older woman. She was like, what? I'm like, God, I don't even know what to say.
Right.
It's called orgasm.
Yeah, orgasm. Like, you got it. Okay, good. Okay, never talk about this again. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't want to cry off the rest of my mascara, so let's get to the fun part and talk about the MSA, baby.
That's right. So the MSA, what does it include, everybody? It's how do you pay for things? Who takes what asset? How is it divided? How do taxes, how are they handled?
Oh, God.
Life insurance, anything like that related to financials are in that agreement and that document, because we're here talking about documents.
The many documents of divorce.
That's
right.
The
many colors of divorce. Now, if I remember correctly, once the MSA is done, that's a little bit like the grand finale.
Yes, it is a grand finale. And actually, the climax is kind of anticlimactic, which is the divorce
bringing
or the prove-up.
Bringing it back to orgasm.
That's right. We're bringing it full circle tonight.
Yeah, let's get to the climax of the divorce.
That's right. Because in my opinion, the real shebang is the signing off of the MSA, because that really solidifies the fact that you are on your way to divorce. Yes.
Because really, once the MSA is signed, all that happens after that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like if my memory serves me, once that is signed, all that happens is that court date where the judge reads through everything and says, you are now divorced. Good luck.
Yes, exactly. And now, something that I think is amazing, some courts are not even requiring parties to appear. You can send in your documents, which is genius and I think the best way to do it.
What do you mean?
So some courts are realizing that what's called a prove-up or the divorce date is kind of...
Right? So, and if you guys have heard prove-up, I know I heard it a lot. and I didn't know what the hell it was. So go ahead and tell everybody really quickly what prove up
Prove
means.
Up is basically appearing before the judge on your divorce date, telling the judge essentially what you agreed to high level, and making sure you've hit all of the necessary things from the statute to get you a divorce.
Why is it called prove up?
I have no idea. It makes no sense.
Up,
no.
I don't understand. Okay.
I think it's because you're proving up all of the allegations or the necessary
what
statutory factors.
Though? That's a very antiquated.
It is. And it's an antiquated thing that you have to still appear for it with everything signed off appropriately. I understand sometimes judges may have questions and that kind of thing. So what my point
is. Has a judge ever had questions
yes.
recently? Oh, really?
They do have questions at times. Yes.
At the prove up.
Yes. Yes, I've never had a judge not agree to enter a divorce.
Yeah.
But they definitely have questions. But now with COVID leading the way of the new realm of divorce, mm-hmm. we do have some courts that now are accepting paperwork and granting divorces without having the clients and the lawyers have to appear, which is genius because it's another expense
which
that you don't need.
Which states are doing that? Do we know?
There are some counties in Illinois that are doing it. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing.
Okay.
And I would assume other states are on the bandwagon if they're not there already.
Right. I remember my prove up. So as I have said, I got divorced during COVID. And I remember, I think we might have even talked about this in another episode, and I have definitely gone into this on my personal social media page. But I remember my prove up was via Zoom, and I was sitting on the floor of the closet. Oh my God!
Talk about full circle.
Weird. Of my son's bedroom. Weird, because now we're sitting in Morgan's son's closet. Okay. And, you know, like they read through everything and you like, you know, you have to say like, I think it's like, yes, I agree, blah, blah, blah. They basically read through all the terms that you have agreed to. And then at the end, the judge says, well, good luck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also what's interesting to me is, I don't know if this is just in Illinois, but the judge who does your prove up court date is not the judge who's been at all of your other court hearings.
That depends on the county.
Okay. I thought this was interesting because it was some guy that I had never seen before.
Right.
And I'm like, you're the one who's divorcing me? But, you know, whatever. okay. We kind of glazed over the MSA, but and one of the reasons that we did glaze it over is this is a document that basically summarizes everything that you and your soon-to-be ex-spouse have realistically been fighting over for the duration of your divorce process, right? So it's stating this is who's keeping the house. This is who the maintenance is set at this, maintenance or alimony, depending on where you live. All of those specific stipulations. Typically, there are no surprises in an MSA because you've gone through it again and again and again and again. However, I will say, because it's happened to me, sometimes people get a little sneaky, and you might agree on one thing via email between attorneys. And also the MSA document, you guys, it's like 400 million pages long.
Yes, it is.
It's very long, mm-hmm. very boring. You gotta really go through it.
Totally.
Because sometimes little things get the snuck in there. And you're like, wait a minute. I never agreed to not wear my wigs on Thursday nights and drive by your house not singing show tunes. That is my thing.
Show tunes.
Right? But so that you have to make sure you're really looking at that. And again, that's something that your attorney.
Yes,
should
that.
Should be a good attorney.
Agreed. It requires stamina. That is a very boring document and very foreign to you. And the thing is do not let your eyes glaze over. Take it step by step. Read it in the morning when you're fresh.
Your eyes will want to glaze over.
Yes. You will just want to zone out when you see this document over and over again.
It's also icky. I'll be real with everybody. From like a mental health perspective, it's not fun to read when you're talking about your personal assets.
Totally. None of this is fun.
Right. But because it's also so long.
Yes.
Right? The parenting agreement, I think, is one thing. And you're like, okay, I'm laser focused. Because you keep seeing the names of your kids and their birth dates over and over and over again. So every time you see that, you're like, ugh, like brought to life. something about the MSA is kind of feels like it's droning on and on. And here for this person, will for, la, 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 right? And you're like, oh my God, whatever. But you can't do that.
Right.
You can't zone out.
Can't zone out.
So have someone help you through it. And if you have to take it in chunks, maybe, I don't know, like maybe, I wonder if there's a way where we could, let me think about this for a second. Could we break it up, something where we say, take 5 pages, I don't want to say a day, but what do you think? Like if we were to tell people to break it up in segments, how could we tell people to do that?
What I would tell people is ask your attorney when they need a response by, or when do you have to have it read by, and then take that time and divide out the pages or the sections, whatever you have to do. But again, I say, read it when you're fresh in the morning. You do your best thinking within 90 minutes of waking up. You're the most calm. You can actually focus.
After you've had your coffee.
After you have, or have it with your coffee.
Have it. Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing. It's like I used to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. Sunday, obviously, because I'm highly intelligent. But now I'm just going to read people's MSAs.
That's right. There you go.
Obviously. Send them over. DM me at.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So have we hit it all? I mean, look, guys, there are some more documents here and there, but those are the biggies. And that's what I wanted to hit with you today about what you can expect in order to get divorced. Because I feel like when people have a roadmap and a strategy, they feel much more comfortable than just feeling like I'm just waiting for my next email from my attorney or next call. That's where we're at on the documents.
That is where we are at. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for my very favorite part of the show, which we lovingly refer to as Tales from the Internet. You think that your divorce sucks, but it doesn't suck as much as this person. Hear me out. In 2009, a German woman filed for divorce after her husband knocked down and rebuilt a wall in their home because he said that it got dirty. This apparently was the final straw in a 15-year marriage, which the husband obsessively cleaned the house and rearranged the furniture.
Ooh.
So after he knocked down a wall because it got dirty and he rebuilt it, his wife of 15 years said, that's it.
That's what did it?
For a divorce.
That's what did it.
And in California, this past year, a woman left her husband of 22 years because she found out that he voted for Trump. And she found that to be a betrayal.
You know, I'm sure that election really divided a lot of people.
I mean, it was polarizing. Oh, my God. This one's good. Oh, man. Oh, man. Brace yourselves. A 34-year-old man filed for divorce from his 28-year-old bride just days after their wedding because he saw her without makeup.
Oh. She didn't have orgasm or aura. Than sex mascara.
That's right. Apparently, the man felt that his wife had deceived him with cosmetics for years, including her fake eyelashes.
Oh.
The deception was discovered when the two of them went to the beach together, and a dip in the ocean removed all of her makeup.
Wait, so you call fake eyelashes deception?
I mean, come on, dude.
Get with it, Chad.
Seriously, Chad, you are dead to us. Before we go, I have to say, speaking of fake lashes, for those of you who know me and have, you know, been listening to the show for a while, you may or may not know that I am a beauty expert. I have been in the beauty industry for over 20 years. One of my new favorite things is like the Lashify lashes. Have you?
No, dabbled? Tell me more.
So they're fake lashes that get adhered underneath the lash instead of above. Like, ooh. You know how when we did lashes for that first photo shoot and I wedged them between your lashes? These are ones that get popped in underneath.
Okay.
And I love them. They look a tiny bit more not so obvious, I think, is how I would describe it. But I love it. And those
fabulous.
Are waterproof. So you can dip in the ocean.
And not lose your husband.
You will not lose your lashes or your husband.
Or Chad.
Boom.
Boom.
However, I have to say, if your husband gonna leave you because your lashes fell off, honey, let him.
Or your wife.
Or your wife. Seriously, let them walk. Let them take a long walk on the beach on their own. Because I don't want no man that ain't gonna. What is with this tone I'm taking today?
Like, I don't know.
Who am I?
And we have men and women. There's nothing against men. We have lots of male listeners.
And like, all
we're
of
just.
Sudden,
we started with Chad, and we just can't stop.
But I've got this weird vibe I'm pushing out. Like, ain't no man gonna tell me. Who is that? I don't know.
Well, on that note,
from the suburbs.
On that note, we're totally wrapping this up, right?
We are done.
Because you have gone overboard.
Per usual. So, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your lashes. Hold on to your... I lost it already.
You did.
Dang.
Your vodka sodas.
Is kicking in, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. A serious wrap up. The documents you need for divorce. You need to file. You need the parenting agreement. And finally, you need the MSA.
Correct.
That is absolutely what you need. And again, all roads lead back to find the right divorce attorney. Find the right divorce attorney for you. Should you need guidance or just somebody to slide on in a DM with, feel free to message us. Morgan, give everybody your handle.
Please message us and just check in with us because we love to hear that you love the podcast. I'm at Divorce Attorney Chicago. I would love to hear from you. And Andrea?
I am at the Andrea Rappaport. And like Morgan said, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell Chad. You need to get Chad to listen. And if you didn't like this podcast, keep that information to yourself because that helps nobody. All right, it's time for round two of our cocktails. I'm going down.
Take care, everybody.
Okay, bye.